Live
from Universal Studios Hollywood in beautiful Los Angeles, California.
This is About Last Night with Brad Williams and Adam Ray
on the Toad Hop Network.
All right. Let's go. Let's do this. About last night.
Yeah.
We're back in the Heezy. I shouldn't be saying that.
Whoa.
There's our music.
Yeah. All right. Well, who should be saying that?
Black people.
Right off the bat. Jesus. We wasted no time with any sort of racist.
Well, no, because this is a true story. I did shows at Ventura Harbor Comedy Club this last weekend, which is a great comedy club.
Where there are zero black people, I might add.
Except the one that came to my show wearing a crown.
You know what? Good for him, because if you are going to be the only other minority there other than rich white people,
right,
you might as well, like, add to it and put a stamp on it, being like, look, I'm a black guy, and just in case you didn't know that there was somebody not white here, I'm going to wear a crown. So I really, was it a Burger King crown? Or like?
It was like this huge thing you win from like knocking down the milk bottles at a carnival. Like, it was a huge crown. And
milk
I'm like,
bottles. The white milk bottles?
The white milk bottles that the yellow ball knocks over, which is revenge for white man making the Japanese building railroads.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, Al Sharpton.
Sir, just please take your stuffed rabbit and get the fuck out of here.
He wore a crown to the show.
That's incredible. Is he a good audience member?
He was great.
Did you talk to him?
Yes. Oh, hello. Yeah. You have to.
Did you talk to the guy with the crown?
I mean, yeah. And it was so funny because it's such a thing with like rich white people and how they don't want to engage any minorities. Because he walked in with a crown, no one looked at him. No, it was just like, that's a black guy wearing a crown. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
They wear crowns. I don't know. Maybe it's part of that whole reparations thing.
You also don't know.
40 acres of mule and a crown.
Right. You also don't know what could a guy in a crown, regardless of his skin color, is up to. At 8 o'clock, if you're wearing a crown out at night and you're not acting like it's a big deal, and there's no cape or like a
scepter. Yeah, you're right.
Then, you know.
Yeah, you probably get the idea that that person may not be mentally stable. And, like, if you say anything to them, they could throw poo at you.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of a thing you want to avoid.
Sure.
Anyway.
Shows were good, though?
Welcome. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was great shows. Great time. And, you're getting ready for more. But now, let's focus on the About Last Night
Episode
podcast.
Episode 6.
Six in. Doing well.
We've had a couple guests, and we just seem to keep getting better and better guests.
Yes, absolutely.
And the sex appeal keeps to continue to rise as we bring in.
Oh, my God. This one, if you are listening to this on iTunes, go to ToadHopNetwork.com. We have all the videos of our podcasts up as well. You should be watching this one because our guest today, you know him as the co-host of Loveline with Dr. Drew. He was on Dancing with the Stars. He's filled in for Regis on Regis and Kelly.
And he did a great job.
And he's the best damn looking man we've ever had in this studio.
Woo.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mike Catherwood is here, everyone. Catherwood.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I like how you say we're six in and the guests keep getting better. I hope that previous guests don't hear that, because
no,
tremendously insulting to guys like Ralph.
No.
Oh, yeah.
They established themselves in the entertainment industry.
Well, Ralph knows how sexy he is. He doesn't need any sort of...
He knows. He wears a leather jacket.
He walked in
with
a leather jacket. That's
Ralph
a statement.
Ralph really is a guy who has a lot of like sex appeal.
For sure.
And I say that as a guy who I don't think I necessarily do. I mean, people compliment me on my looks enough, and I appreciate it. It's very flattering, but I don't think whether or not someone says I'm attractive, I don't think I'm sexy. I'm too goofy to be sexy. Like, Ralph has, like, the sexy thing going,
right,
you know?
Right.
Like, he's, like, the man's man and stuff like that.
Yeah, he does. He looks like he'd be good at sex. Like, I think you get the impression that I'd be, like, doing fart jokes and stuff.
Well, because
he looks like he'd be good at sex. Yeah. Well, now, that's been our show today. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up.
But like, Mike, you told me something, because we were both on the Kevin and Bean show a few days ago.
Is that how you guys met originally, first of all?
We first met backstage at the K-Rock Weenie Roast concert, where I was drunk and looked at Mike and how ripped he is and how good looking he is, and I thought my Napoleon complex kicked in. Like, I'm a 4'4" dude. I have to beat this guy at something.
Right.
So I just yelled at him, like, I want to challenge you to a push-up contest. And
can you do a lot of push-ups?
I can.
Brad can do. Brad can do almost probably like world record-breaking amounts of push-ups.
What?
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty
Why
crazy.
Why have you not tried to contact the Guinness people?
I don't know. You think I get in there for that?
For sure. Most push-ups done by a dwarf in a podcast studio. That's
but
gotta
just
be
most push-ups done without stopping by an LP. Would I guarantee you'd win?
Right. Exactly. So I challenge Mike. Dr. Drew is the judge. I do 109, and Mike does 112, and he beats me. Now there was controversy because Mike stopped at the top a few times to rest. I didn't know that was in the rules. Apparently it was.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So you got to check the fine print.
Exactly.
I was going by like the old Navy SEAL / like the new CrossFit type ruling.
Where
you can rest as long as you don't touch your knees or your body. Like you can rest in like the arms locked position.
Right.
But either way, Brad is champion when it comes to push-ups. I mean, he really is.
Woo!
I'm impressed, man. My respect for you just like jumped notches.
People ask how I get laid. That's what I do. I walk up to women in bars and go, "Do you want to be with a push-up champion? You want to be with that? I can go up and down a lot and not get tired.
Wow,
what's up, bitch? You want some?"
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Mike said something at the Kevin and Bean studio because we did a rematch with different rules. I won. Just throw that out there.
Resoundingly, by the way.
Yeah.
Resoundingly, he won.
Yeah. But Mike said something that boggled my mind. Is you said that you are kind of like the David Cross character in Arrested Development, is that you don't, like, you're kind of a never nude, like, you don't like taking your shirt off?
I just got to the point in the last couple of years where I take my shirt off even in the shower.
That is boggling to me, because there's photos of you on the internet. If you Google Mike Catherwood, you will see photos of you in a bodybuilding competition where you are just shredded.
Yeah,
you're just everything a man dreams to be.
Just to let our listeners know real quick, we will be talking about other things other than Mike's upper torso area for the rest of the podcast.
How much Brad wants to
at least another 35. Once Brad tells Mike he wants to fuck him, we will move on. Well, let me ask you this though:
if you were to fuck a dude, you know what
sure,
I mean?
Sure, this is the
guy. You gotta go with Mike.
I'm perfect for the transition into gay sex because
Hit on by gay men?
Yeah, all the time.
All the time.
On social networks and stuff, I'm way more popular with gay guys than I am with chicks.
Wow.
But I don't know if that's by virtue of the fact that gay men are more forward or if, like, I'm just more popular on the gay scene. But I have, like,
it's a little bit of both.
I have a kind of a gay look to me, you know?
Now, how do you figure?
I mean, I'm really into clothes and stuff,
sure.
And I don't make any, like, I don't apologize for that. You know, I know it probably goes against my manly street cred, but I'm into, like, style and clothes
sure.
and stuff like that.
Yeah, your hair is very well taken care of and groomed.
And outside of that, I don't know. I mean, maybe
And the fact that you enjoy anal.
Sure. I mean, there's the
receiving.
Well, I was going to say,
watching Clay Aiken documentaries.
If I'm going to be a top, I'm the guy you want because my penis is barely not doing anal. Like, it's practically not doing anal because it's so small. It's just like, just.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. It'd be like.
My penis is practically not doing anal sounds like the great title for a Shel Silverstein poem, by the way.
right after the Giving Tree.
and after that, plain cake surprise or whatever that's
exactly.
called. Wait, so you shower with your shirt on?
I don't anymore, but I used to get in the shower with my shirt on, and then I'd turn on the water and then put the shirt on the towel rack with the towel, then shower, clean up, dry myself off, put the shirt back on, and then when I got out of the shower, I wouldn't even catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror.
Right, because I thought it was one of those things, because when I was a fat kid growing up, I would, like, swim with my T-shirt on because I didn't want to make the girls jealous that I had bigger tits than they did. But that was so I didn't know.
I used to just not swim at pool parties where everyone.
What a bummer.
Or when I go to the beach. I live in Venice. And
how awful was that, by the way?
It was pretty crappy.
Awful, right? Because everyone's, first of all, because everyone else is swimming, and they're like, well, why are you not swimming? And eventually I started to have to, like commit to the lie, because first of all, it's like, I don't want to swim. But what fucking kid does not want to swim at a pool party? So then I had to start raising the bar. I'm like, you know, when I was younger, I got a fucking shark attack, and then it was just like, you know, and I started really committing. I was like, I'm afraid of the water, and, like, my parents got divorced at a pool, and, like, I'm really sensitive to all this. And then finally, it's just like, look, man, I got fucking tits, and I'm 9, so just fucking leave me alone already.
The story gets more and more elaborate.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just napalm attack at 9.
Yeah,
it's terrible looking.
Yeah, yeah. Well, a mermaid fucking hijacked my family and held my face underwater.
It just brings me back to that moment. But, like, what enters your head? Like, even during sex, you couldn't take your shirt off?
Yeah, I used to have sex with my shirt on like Tony Soprano.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I'm serious.
Wow, because for me it's like...
Tony Danza also fucks with his shirt on.
It's true.
Just to let you know. So a lot of Tonys fuck with their clothes on.
Tony the Tiger.
Tony the Tiger. It's great.
Exactly. But like, did your girlfriend or just one night stands or bus stop trannies, did they ever look at you and say like, you know, you're kind of good looking, want to see you without the shirt, what's up?
Yeah, I mean, when I was married, my wife used to always encourage me to do it. And then I think it helped kind of break down that barrier. And then there were certain people along the way, like you said, whether they be the random truck stop lover or someone I was in a relationship.
Well, truck stop lovers usually don't care about things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're like, look, you can cut a small hole in the penile area.
You can't see a shirt through a glory hole.
Yeah.
Wow.
That might be
on the bottom of a Diet Pepsi bottle cap, I think.
They would encourage me to try to do it. And then every once in a while, it would kind of break down. And other times, I would stick to my guns.
Sure.
Wow. Because the only other person that I know like that is Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith is also kind of a never nude. He always has that hockey jersey on under, like, all circumstances. Like, he told a story recently on one of his podcasts where the first time he ever, like, got naked in the last, like, 20 years was when he went to get a physical, like, and he had
Jesus.
To be. But it's like, you look at the body dynamic, Kevin Smith is a lot different than Mike Heatherwood.
Sure.
Yeah, but I think the insecurity develops from the same place. And whether or not, like, Kevin Smith looks the way he does or I look the way I do, those are just manifestations of, like, the same thing kind of playing out. I really think that. Yeah.
Really? Were you, like, mocked as a kid? Like,
no, I don't know. Actually, you know, I could trace back a lot. A guy who's done a lot of therapy. I've been in therapy like half my life. And
what started the therapy?
I was sexually abused.
Oh shit!
I lost my virginity when I was really young to a much older girl, and I just thought I was sweet. Like when you're in eighth grade, I just thought I was awesome.
Wait a minute. So you were. Yeah, because eighth grade, you're old enough to really kind of have some wherewithal to be like, all right, I'm going to consciously engage in this.
But, I thought I was, and I did it so that I could be the cool kid at school. Like, I didn't really want to have sex with
How old was she?
19.
And you were?
13.
Wow. Wait, so that's sexual? Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah, and like, Drew's now telling me,
of course.
Dr. Drew's like, that's child-on-child sexual abuse. I was like, no, it's not. It's just I was a young
kid
that wanted to get laid.
It's a kid being the most popular kid in school.
No, that definitely had a profound effect on how you look at sexuality and stuff like that.
Do you remember the experience being, like, violating in any way?
Yeah, it was horrible.
No shit.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So, but leading up to it, you were like, hell yeah. She's like, why don't you come over? You're like, oh, my God.
Yep.
You're trying to push down your boner the whole way there. You're like, this is going to be great. And then you get there. And she's got, like, syrup and strap on, or how did it go down?
No, it was just, like, straight sex, but...
But you don't have any say in
and
it.
And I never, like, I was always, like, a guy who had a really close network of friends growing up. And I grew up in a neighborhood where, like, all my friends from kindergarten were my friends from senior year. I told them everything, and we told each other everything. I never told anybody.
Wow.
I always assumed, like, my high school girlfriend was the girl I lost my virginity to.
Wow.
And I didn't start opening up about that till, like, Loveline era.
No shit.
Yeah.
So you just kind of, it happened, and you were like... Well, that was cool.
Yeah.
Not really.
Not exactly. And it totally tainted the way I look. No pun intended. Tainted the way I look at
She made
at
you
sexuality.
Look her taint for 7 hours. And that was, yeah.
And I don't know. And I like I said, I could trace back a lot of the stuff that happened to me and kind of pinpoint where it developed from.
But that's
the whole body image stuff, I don't know. Because I have an overweight dad who's like not – he's the complete opposite. My dad's – pretty overweight, and he's total walk
he'll
around
wear,
the house.
He'll wear tube top to Target on Sundays.
Yeah, he's that guy. Sure. He doesn't care at all.
That's awesome.
And so I don't know where that developed from, but it's certainly there. And I think it's just, you know, I'm a guy who's obsessive about, like, super macho stuff.
Sure.
And all that is masking insecurities.
Sure.
I love, like, motorcycles and MMA and tattoos and stuff. And I think that a lot of that is just posturing.
Of course.
You know, so
now how did you start pumping yourself full of, because then you did bodybuilding for a while.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you were
yeah.
just jacked. So, I mean, what point do you say, all right, well, I'm in shape and I want to take this up a notch and, like, start putting some substances in my body and maybe compete a little bit?
Well, I was always, like, into, like, lifting weights.
Right.
But never to be, like, you know, Mr. Men's Health six-pack guy. I just, when I was, like, kind of a jock in high school. And we all started getting into, like, beefing up, you know,
sure.
before football season. I ended up being pretty good at it. I had, like, a natural gift for strength training. I was never fast or, like, agile. But I was a guy who naturally was pretty strong. And I started to bulk up. And then when I was, you know, got to college age, I was probably 19, 20, the idea came up that I could also look good, too,
right.
through it, you know, through, like, physical training and stuff like that. And I had some buddies locally who were, like, really ripped, and they were like, you could get pretty lean quickly if you put your mind to it.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Like, who in the community that steps up and is like, I saw you lifting weights, Mike, and I thought,
you got some real potential, dude.
Try these pills. Swallowed by this protein shake and more pills.
It happened, and that's not too far off from really how it got.
Wow.
That guy was me, by the way. I just wanted to tell you. I was wearing a mask. My name is Travis.
It's funny because, like, kind of the whole, like, drug culture kind of has a similar thing. Some guy walks up to you and he's like, hey, man, I see you're not having fun, but I think you have the potential to have fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's some pills. Go have fun. Right. And then it's kind of the same thing.
Wow. Especially with hardcore drugs. Like, you mm-hmm. know, I remember you went, everybody, like.
Because you've had your problems. You've had your addictions.
I was a bottom of the barrel drug addict alcoholic. Yeah. The worst of the worst. I mean, I was that bad.
Would you say you'd be like in the drug hall of fame as far as like.
Well, no, because my window was very short, but, you know, a guy called Loveline the other night, and he just off the top of his head asked, Mike, what do you think you'd be like if you still drank and used? And I without question, I'd be dead or in jail. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
You said, I remember, I don't know if this was on Loveline or on the Kevin and Bean show. Now, you had talked about your absolute, like, rock bottom moment where you thought, like, oh, crap, like, this is where I need to get help. And it was just an insane story about.
You talking about Paris Poo?
That one, yes.
That was not at all rock bottom, by the way. That's a terrible story.
Wow.
That sounds like a great story.
Because there was no real immediate consequences, that was one of those times where even in the face of really extreme stuff, and I'll get into the story,
yeah.
I was like, my toes are still tapping. You know?
And
it's funny because you can have really terrible stuff happen to you, like this Harris Poo story that I'm about to break into, mm-hmm. and it doesn't register. You could crash cars, get in bar fights, lose the respect of your parents, end up in jail. None of that stuff seems to factor in. When I finally got clean after so many very vain attempts to do it before, it was a nothingness moment. I was sitting in a hotel room, and I just decided I can't live like this anymore, and that was that.
Wow.
Yeah, I think for most people, it sounds like it is where they are sober at some point, and they're almost like reflecting on what's happened before that, or they're able to see clearly some of the experiences you've had, and then you're like, all right, well, I guess I don't want to do that anymore, right?
I mean, I was rushed to the hospital countless amounts of times. Doctors telling me, you know, you're going to die. I drank myself to the point where I didn't know where I was.
After those doctors being like, you're going to die, you're like, where's my tequila?
Yeah. Right. I did the total wow. Nikki Six type stuff where, like, the doctors, you know, when I moved to the East Coast for a short period of time, I started introducing opiate, like, you know, heroin into stimulant. I was always a stimulant guy. I loved meth and coke. I loved to be on edge. I loved to mm-hmm. be ready for action, gacked out. But then when on the East Coast, I started doing, like, speedballing, you know, mixing heroin, smoking heroin and coke and stuff. And that's when I started to have, like, real health problems, where I was going to the hospital. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
You know, you're one heartbeat away from it going south. And doctors all the time tell me, like, you are really pushing the envelope. You're going to die. And that night I would go out and hook up. I mean,
Jesus.
But there was definitely suicidal ideology there. I mean, I didn't feel like I deserved to have
and
a
now,
life.
I haven't done coke, but I've been around plenty of people who do. And I feel like, and I don't know if this is consistent with you, but I feel like everyone who does coke at some point in the night says, like, some, just, you know, like, what do you mean I can't poop in here? Like, I feel like I feel like it makes you just kind of lose your, I mean, you're hyped up, obviously, right? Your heart's speeding up,
sure.
And you just, and then you come down, and then you need more. And what is it that really fucks you up, though, about it?
I think that, for me, it just changed the way you look at things. It's not one of these drugs like a hallucinogen or even like an opiate where you get the numbness of the tingling, that physical. Mm-hmm. For cocaine, for me, was that psychologically, you're just so much more confident and you feel so much more comfortable in your own skin.
I got to hear this Paris Poop story again.
So
I need this drug.
Paris Poo and Paris Poop are completely different stories.
So I head on over to jolly old England because I'm just getting out of high school and I'm going to be a rock star. I've decided, and I'm
what this better place to
traveling
start?
Manly dude that is going to go and live my life and blah 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 blah
and be a sure. Beatle.
So I land in London, and I know from old punk rock documentaries, you go to Piccadilly Circus if
sure.
you want to get it on
right.
and off. Yep. So I head on over there, and sure enough, within a couple hours, I meet locals and we're partying, we're drinking, I'm getting hammered.
Jesus.
This guy tells me, you know, if you buy 200 pills of ecstasy, it'll be a much better deal for you And you can have...
Within 15 minutes, that sentence is coming out directly towards you.
No, like 2 or 3 hours.
Look here, Mario Lopez. Let me tell you how ecstasy can help these mashed potatoes taste better.
AC Slater, listen here. I was like, good idea.
Yes, you'd like buy into the Costco logic of pills. Like, no, I should buy in bulk. Absolutely.
So we start eating ecstasy. Now we're already drunk, too. And the night goes on, and I say... what I really like is blow. Where's the blow? They're like, oh, London doesn't have blow. The blow scene is in Paris. That's where you need to go. And they're like,
well, let's
who's
go.
Who's buying the channel tickets?
Right.
She's on.
Just so right
we,
there.
So we head to Paris.
Wow. And that's what fucking drugs, like, quite out, right? It doesn't matter what's happening. You'll go wherever. They could have been like, look, man, they're in Asia. You're like, fucking, what's the time change like?
You can't motivate me to go rent a movie now. the video store, three miles away. There's a Redbox tent.
Video store on your fucking website now. You just get on your computer.
Oh, I don't know. Wow. I'm going to Paris. Upon landing.
To get some powder. Yeah,
don't speak French. Don't know anyone there. Don't have whatever. Let's go. Let's score.
That's insane.
Head to Paris. Land there. Hook up both. Guys, no.
Jesus.
Wow. So now it starts to get really hazy. But I remember like this great moment where I really felt like I was the olive branch of diplomacy to all these different nations because I taught all these people how to cook crack. And they had no idea how to do it. And I was like, let me show you. I took them and we cooked crack.
Wow. Now, did you show them in the very, like, cooking show-esque style? Or was it very much first of all, you've got your pipe, and then you've got your crack, and then you've got your, cinnamon oil or whatever.
Ooh, nice. Yeah, all you need is the EVOO. Let's break on it. Yeah, yeah. No, I totally broke
for
it
sure,
down.
Yeah.
And they were looking
at me
like I was this Svengali of drugs. And we all started smoking crack, of course. And we had, like, a fake homemade pipe that was like a bunch of rolled up tinfoil. They say you should never smoke out of it. Stoners will say,
sure.
You're like, you get Alzheimer's, bro. I'm smoking crack.
I know. I'm not really concerned about forgetting things when I'm 65.
Well,
I'm
get
good.
Alzheimer's if you smoke out of a can? Is that what you said?
That's what they say. I don't know. But like, fuck. I could care less because I was smoking crack
at
the time.
But heroin guy's like, well, don't do this. Sterilization. Right. Like, that. Right. I got to be healthy. Don't. No, I don't eat bacon.
So, starts with crack, still drinking, still partying.
Sure.
I still have the ecstasy. I don't know where that went at this point. Now it also gets really murky. But next thing I know, I wake up, and I am in a hotel hallway, not a hotel room, a hotel hallway.
It's comfier than the bed.
Wearing nothing but boxers, which are filled with shit. Okay, so let me recap for you. I'm in a land where I don't speak the language. I don't know where I'm staying. I don't know where my luggage, passport, money, or keys to where I might possibly be staying is.
Wow.
And I have shit in my pants.
How do you
did a maid service come by and be like, do you need fresh towels for your shit drawers?
I walked to the elevator. Boom. Sure enough, I'm like, please don't let anybody in there.
Yeah.
Elevator was it's
packed.
Full.
Oh, like, God.
I'll wait for the next one.
I'll wait for the next one.
People are like, look at it. There's just tatted out, roided out American with shit in his pants.
Right.
So, boom, next one comes up. There's only a couple people. I was like, fuck. So I just walk back with my back to the wall so that no one can see I have shit in my pants.
Yeah, but it's reeking, right?
Yeah.
And, oh, my God.
So you're getting a lot of like those. Because elevators are already super awkward. No one's really talking. Even if they are. It's very like quiet, and everyone's listening to their conversation. So I mean,
so
I can't
hot
imagine.
Today, right?
Yeah. It's just you're walking in with shit shorts, like, and everyone. I mean, are you just getting like little kind of glances?
and people didn't speak English. They weren't Americans or Brits. So I'm like, I'm sure they're talking shit about me.
Sure, sure.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
So I finally get down, and I remember walking out into the lobby, and it was like a bunch of windows, and it was so bright because it was daytime, and I hadn't like slept or seen daytime in so long.
Right.
And I was just, so now I'm. Faced with, well, I don't know where I'm staying or where my luggage went or anything. So I go back into the hotel that I just came out of.
Right.
I go to the front desk and I was like, please help me. Did I come in here last night? And they said, someone was working the overnight shift. Let me go again. So guy speaks English, comes back. He's like, you came in with a bunch of people. You came in, you were already in your underwear. You came in. And I was like, no, this is bullshit.
Oh, wow.
You got to be kidding me. And I was like, well, where am I staying? He's like, you're probably staying across the street because there's a hostel. And I would imagine that you checked in there because I had a bunch of people who travel, young college kids like yourself,
sure.
Assuming that I was in college, which is crazy.
Right.
So I go back over there. Sure enough, guy at the front. Yes, here you go. I was like, okay, I don't have a key. So he's like, oh, well, I'll walk you up there. Gives me a new key, and it's like an actual physical key, not like hotels nowadays.
Right.
It's a key. I walk up, but the thing, my door is open. It's like the deadbolt that you like, you know, you deadbolt up and you lean it up against. It was doing that. It was like a jar leaning up against the deadbolt. So I have this moment where I take a deep breath and I'm like, there's probably something I don't want to see on the other side of this room.
Oh, my God.
I push it open. My clothes, my luggage, my passport, everything perfectly laid out on the bed. A bunch of plastic cups, half filled with wine and beer, and empty beer bottles and wine bottles all over the room.
What?
Bunch of cigarette butts, some of them with lipstick on it and stuff like that. So I clearly had a party.
Right.
Don't remember that at all. Decided it was a good idea to take off my clothes and then go wherever they were going and then shit myself. Whatever happened in between that, I don't know. I could have been raped.
Wow.
No, you definitely were raped.
Well, yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, best case scenario.
Wow. So...
Man, it's like
well, you know, I got, that lives up to the Paris Poo story, and I quite honestly exceeds my expectations. That I mean, that's a Jesus Christ.
But you see what I'm saying? Like, there was no real consequences for me,
right?
Because I just showered, put my clothes back.
You're
on
like, wow,
and like, let's do it again.
Apparently, I'm incredibly neat when I'm high. I fold stuff. I turn into a Mexican maid. Awesome.
That whole experience did not even make you think twice about doing it again.
Oh no!
In fact, you were like, let's see if I can go 2 for 2 in Paris. Oh. That's a world record.
Let's see if I'll wake up in Amsterdam. We have to take a quick break. So,
a lot more to talk about. Dancing with the Stars, Regis, Loveline. Don't go anywhere.
This is About Last Night.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network. Radio worth watching.
Surprise your woman in the bedroom. Go to adamandeve.com and receive 50% off almost any item, a free gift, 3 free DVDs, and free shipping. So go to adamandeve.com now and enter Toad Hop.
Hey, it's Heidi and Frank for scorebig.com. There's been two ways to get tickets up until now. You can go to the venue or team site and buy your tickets directly, or you could go to the big ticket sellers, the scalpers, if the tickets for the really big events are sold out. And you can pay way, way over face value.
Who wants to do that? Who would do
that? Nobody!
That's stupid. You don't have to do that anymore. Thanks to scorebig.com, a great website where you always pay less than retail, and you never, ever, ever pay any ticketing fees. That's scorebig.com, and you can save up to 60% on tickets.
Every ticket on the ScoreBig website is below retail price, guaranteed. Great events, Lakers, Clippers, Kings, USC, UCLA, basketball, Disney Hall, Geffen Theater. Mention specific teams in a list.
Well, you did. And I think that's perfect the way you did
those
that.
Those were teams in Southern California, but scorebig.com is everywhere.
Everywhere.
I got a tweet from a guy saying he's got his Giants tickets and he saved 30%.
Awesome. Thanks, scorebig.com. And that's what we're talking about. Not just nosebleed seats, everything from the floor to the rafters. And again, no service or shipping fees ever. Your offer at scorebig.com is what you pay.
Always listen to retail, never any fees, scorebig.com. Then type in Heidi and Frank to get the passcode. Skip the line.
Yeah.
Start shopping right away. Get your tickets today.
VIP treatment.
Don't wait. Type in Heidi and Frank.
Do it right now. What are you still sitting here for?
scorebig.com.
Proof why I was never a cheerleader. I can't spell.
There's more proof than that.
Now back to About Last Night
on the Toad Hop Network.
Yeah, I like I like her official back two song.
Yeah, right.
Alice in Chains.
It's always
makes you want to punch somebody. Too bad my arms are tiny. I can't reach you, fuckers.
You can punch somebody.
Yeah, but it's like cute
children.
It's adorable.
It's a yeah. Knockout.
Midget punches someone. It's like he's trying to be normal. It's so funny.
Oh.
It is. It's like that time when like your bird says something. It's like he's trying to be normal. He's trying to be human.
Right.
It's so adorable.
Right.
It's the midget going, ah, that's cute. this is the About Last Night podcast. We are back. Co-host Adam Rain. Our guest Mike Catherwood,
yeah.
Which you know from Dancing with the Stars. Co-host on Loveline, Kevin and Bean Show.
But what I want to talk about is you filled in for Regis.
A couple times, yeah.
Fucking A, man.
How what's it like when you get that phone call? That, hey.
Was it Regis?
Yeah, I
Mike,
thought,
I've heard you on Loveline.
Regis does his cold calls.
You talk about your balls.
Well, you talk about drugs.
It happens.
You went through some shit.
So it happened so such a weird fashion that I definitely thought it was, Ralph or Kevin and Bean fucking with me because... Mm-hmm. They called me and told me that I had won some contest to co-host the show that I did not even know I was entered in.
Who entered you?
Back when Regis was still on the show, they used to have like a week worth of fill-ins with a theme. The men of NYPD,
right.
The men of Major League Baseball. So they did the men of radio, and they were.
Okay.
I guess listeners had to nominate the people that they thought would be good radio personalities.
Wow!
So then I found out I'm like in the top 10.
It's an honor.
Narrowed down to the 10, and I was like, "What? You got to be kidding!
Who
this
else
is
was
crazy.
In the category?"
Bubba the Love Sponge.
Bubba the Love Sponge.
No, actually, it wasn't.
Seacrest.
There wasn't that many people that I had heard of except for Mike from Mike and Mike. But not Mike Goldberg. Mike.
Greenberg.
Mike Greeny. Mike Greeny. He and then this guy, Fitz, who's a country western radio personality, but he also is like a talk show host.
Sure.
And he's real good. I knew him because Bean knew him. He emanates out of the Pacific Northwest.
Kevin Bean Show,
but the
right.
rest of the guys
My
turned
hometown.
Out to be, I got to find out, are like really balling ass radio personalities
sure.
in their own little pocket.
Number one in Dallas, number one in Miami.
Right.
Those kind of
Bobby
guys.
Bones. They're all like really big time radio personalities.
Right.
I was blown away that I was even involved. So then we hit the airwaves.
Because at this point, were you on Loveline? Were you the co-host on Loveline? Or were you,
Yes, I was.
Okay.
Weeks in of hosting Loveline.
So barely.
Yeah, it was just, but I was
You were at the bottom of the totem pole experience wise as far as like, well, I mean, not experience wise, but with Loveline being the thing that you were going to be like known for.
Yeah, I guess so. But I mean, the boot camp of Kevin and Bean,
right.
and the fact that I was there for so long, it really is so much more intense than any other. Like,
no shit.
Like,
yeah.
Because Kevin and Bean, more so than pretty much anybody out there, guys, especially guys of their level of success, they give you massive airtime. They're not afraid to just throw you to the wolves. And I mean that in a good way, and allow you to just fend for yourself. And having to keep up with guys like Ralph, who's super sharp and funny, and Kevin and Bean both themselves, and then keep in that world and stay afloat, it really does prepare you for practically anything from a broadcasting standpoint.
Absolutely. And one thing I wanted to mention is, like, when they say hard work pays off, people don't realize that for a while, you were doing Loveline at night, which goes until what?
Midnight.
Which goes until midnight.
Yeah.
And then you were also on the Kevin and Bean Show to where you had to be there at studio at 5 a.m.?
Yeah. The show went live. For me, the show went live at 5 because we do the first half hour as a replay, and it was my responsibility to play that replay.
Wow.
So I'd get up. I'd be on the air till midnight and then have to get up around 3:45 to get back into the show. But then also, you got to remember, I was working at E-Television at that period, too. So then I'd have to be at the Comcast building here in Los Angeles at noon after the Kevin Mead Show and film till about 4 or 5 in the evening.
What the fuck?
So then I'd go home,
catch a two-hour nap
and then do Loveline at night.
And expected to be sharp for all three of these things.
And that's why cocaine is awesome.
True.
And here's where the relapse happened.
And so they call me up. They tell me I'm down to the top 10. Kevin and Bean go on the air with it, you know, encouraging people to support me. And the Kevin and Bean listeners and Loveline listeners were amazing, and they did. And there I was. They picked me to be on Regis and Kelly. So I go and I do it. It's surreal. They call me a couple weeks later, like, come back and do it again.
Jesus.
Then Dancing with the Stars hits from it. And then they're like, come back and do it again during the filming of Dancing with the Stars. And then I came back as a guest. So it just became like this really intense
Regis and,
world.
So Regis and Kelly propelled you to the Dancing with the Stars.
Without question.
How was, I mean, just how was that experience with Kelly? Was she nice? Was she like, was she giving? And
Kelly is exactly like she is on the air. She is off air. You might assume she turns into this raging bitch mm-hmm. as soon as the cameras goes off. She has, she is like Steve-O. I mean, in that, just by virtue of being around her, you're in a better mood. She has such an effervescent, positive energy about her, and she's not, it's not Hollywoodsy bullshit. She's not trying to, you know, blow smoke up your ass.
Yeah.
She's just a genuinely sweet, bubbly person, and you just want to hang out with her.
Do you feel pressure to fill in Regis's shoes when you're there, or does she kind of make you be like, now it's not the Regis and Kelly show, it's the Mike and Kelly.
I got that out of my system early on because of going into Loveline. I made such a concerted effort and you know, paid the price for it to not try to be Adam number two.
Right.
Because
right.
Carolla was such big shoes to fill, and I knew sure. that I could never be as good as him. And so I had to really make sure that you don't do a hackneyed impersonation of Adam, and that's the same thing I went into doing with Regis and Kelly. I was like, don't try to be a younger Regis.
Sure.
Just be yourself and hope for the best.
Was it weird knowing that you look pretty much exactly like Kelly's husband?
It was, and she I tried to play it up and like be cutesy about it.
Right,
on
right,
the
right.
air, and they did like a split screen, and everything was fine. I thought that was a great movie.
Until you were like, well, let's actually put this, put our money where our mouth is. Take your pants off, Kelly.
No.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
Until it was a snow day in New York City, and Mark Consuelos, her husband, is there on set with the kids.
Oh.
So I get done talking about how I'm a younger, better version of your husband,
oh,
and the guy's in the hallway. And he's a machismo kind of Latin dude.
Right.
And he was dead serious, eyeballing.
He
was not having it.
Wow.
Did he say anything or just kind of stayed down?
It didn't happen until, not until we had a conversation for about 10 minutes did he ease up a little bit and realize I was just kind of fooling around. And he turned out to be an incredibly cool guy. But
for a moment, it was like serious, dramatic, like Latino, like merengue music playing. He's like, hello, my friend.
It was a literal.
I heard you talking shit on air about me.
That's right.
And when I get angry, I talk like Antonio Banderas. You dirty motherfucker.
It was a literal Mexican standoff.
Yeah!
Wow! And then he's got his kids there. He doesn't want his kids like thinking like
no, that was
like
his
dad.
Kid. That was his son.
Oh, yeah.
Mark's finally being like, "Hey, take it easy, guys."
I've been shaving my chest hair since age five, preparing for this moment.
No, Dad. I'm 7 years old. I'm too sexy. No, Dad.
That, and then to do something like Dancing with the Stars, which is one of the top shows on television.
Yeah. Still.
And
who was in your cast?
Hines Ward,
nice.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Chris Jericho.
I think Hines won it that year, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah.
Christie Alley.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you did not outlast Christie Alley.
I was eliminated first, Brad. So you could say I did not outlast anyone. I was eliminated first.
That's.
Does
you
she
think?
Really smell like Velveeta cheese, or is that just a rumor?
No, she actually in person. She's like. Really, I mean, don't get
she's
wrong.
Awesome.
She's overweight, but
yeah, but you know,
in
man,
person,
we've all
she's
got
like
issues.
Like got a definite like still like
sex
you're
appeal.
A hot chick.
Yeah,
I mean, you're
sure.
a really good looking woman.
Oh yeah,
and for her age, people forget she's coming up to 60, isn't
yeah.
she? Now
what?
Yeah. Like for her age, she looks good.
And I like Christy a lot because she is a throwback to old Hollywood, where now people
mm-hmm.
try to play down this kind of sense that they're a celebrity. Kirstie Alley has no problem pulling up in the Bentley, reading a script,
yeah.
carrying her assistant around with her. I loved it.
Shit.
I was laughing at the whole thing.
Hold my poodle dog.
Yeah, exactly.
She's
awesome.
Also got that sexy raspy voice.
Oh, that wasn't sexy.
That was Kirstie Alley. That was Kirstie Alley, and that was sexy.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And Whoopi Goldberg, I feel like. Well, I mean, I'm just saying have raspy voices. Whoopi's isn't sexy. I don't have Whoopi on my desktop screensaver.
I like when Whoopi gets mad; she gets like way black. You know,
for
like
sure.
that's when it comes out.
Yeah, she normally just talks.
Because usually,
know,
like, well, you know,
well
Mitt Romney's coming out right now, and I don't agree with everything he's saying. And I'll tell you another thing about that motherfucker.
Yeah, it's like old school too. Yeah. You know, she does not fuck around. It's like the guys on the plane in Airplane.
Yeah.
Like, she's like full on.
She's
old
got a thug
soul.
Side
yeah.
inside
oh,
of her,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
Well, I mean, cool means because like where she came from,
right?
And then she's been suppressing that all that time. So then eventually, when it comes up.
And every job she's had has been like, you know, whether she's playing a nun in a movie or she's now sitting next to Barbara Walters.
She's a coach of the Knicks.
10 a.m.
What?
Oh, right. Eddie.
Great movie.
People forget how classic.
Little shout out to Eddie right now.
What a great movie where a fan can be sitting there and instantly become the coach of the New York
for
Knicks.
Sure. And it's Whoopi Goldberg of all people.
Absolutely. But like, how much training do when you're on Dancing with the Stars? Yeah. How much rehearsing is that?
Because do you go and being like, I'm a fit dude. I know how to move. I can pick
this
up.
Yeah, I mean, because I really did want to be a musician. We were talking about earlier about how I thought I was going to be a rock star. I planned on being a musician. I really did. So I have musical. I have rhythm, and I'm an athletic guy. So I assumed like I'll be all right. And then you realize it's not like going to the club and dancing. Ballroom dancing is such an art
form. You thought you're just gonna have a group of girls out there and just grind. Yeah. On them for 45 minutes.
I'm gonna fist pump and get some votes. All right.
And ballroom dancing is incredibly difficult, and it's really time consuming. It's not that physically demanding, but again, maybe it wasn't physically demanding for me.
Right.
I'm not trying to pat myself, but I'm the most fit guy in the world. It just wasn't all that physically demanding. It's incredibly time consuming, and you do train 6-7 hours a day every day leading up to it. But it's incredibly, and I know this sounds really silly. But it's incredibly psychologically demanding.
When you
know you're going to go on TV in front of that many people and do something you know you're bad at.
That's true.
Because think about it this way.
And people will expect you to be good, though.
You try stuff as a kid. Mm-hmm. You try a bunch of stuff. And then you figure out what you're good at and what you're not. And then you jettison the stuff you're not good at.
Sure.
As an adult, to consciously do something you know you're not very good at is a really weird, it's a really weird feeling. And it gives you this odd fear. I mean, a really... my teeth chattering, goosebumps on me fear.
Sure.
And then you're in a surreal world because right before the first episode, you're looking out on the crowd and you're like, hey, there's my dad. Hey, there's Hugh Hefner and Franco Harris. Hey, there's Master P. Hey, there's Kim Kardashian. Like, what am I doing?
Oh, God.
What's going on? And there's a full symphony doing Chameleon Air songs. You're like, where am I? It's crazy.
And then on top of all that, you have 40 million people watching you or whatever.
The pressure just becomes insurmountable. And you get in your head about it. And when you think about what's actually happening and what maybe the repercussions could be from you fucking up.
I planned on not doing very well because my celebrity status was by far the lowest.
Sure, when you're next to Heinz Ward.
Yeah,
and
I'm not a very good dancer. So I didn't plan on going and doing well. But it's, like I said, it's the male ego more so than like what are the repercussions going to be to my career? Because I knew if I went out there and crapped on the stage, it'd still be better for my career because I'm 33 million people are watching me.
Exactly.
And when you're working in an anonymous medium like radio, having that many people see you is just great.
I have the face, exactly.
But I was more scared from, like I said, the male ego, knowing I'm about to go out in front of everybody and do something I know I'm crappy at.
Right.
You just don't like try to show off your crap.
And by the way, grinding.
Unless you're in England and you're in the middle of a hotel hallway.
And by the way, grinding with the incredibly attractive Lacey Schwimmer, who, how did you not get a boner?
Is that David Schwimmer's wife?
I used to get boners all the time.
Like while dancing with her?
All the time.
And was she cool with that?
Yeah, I think she was.
No, she wasn't. Based on that, and then I think she was.
Obviously, when we're trying to do something serious, that is her profession. She likes my rock hard cock rubbing up against her.
I bet she was accepting of it because she knows that. I'm sure she's dealt with a few boners in her life.
And
right?
Also, I for the first time there was like a guy she could actually receive the boner from as her partner. She had only up to this point had Lance Bass, married guys, and Steve-O, who was in a relationship during the time. So for once, she was like, all right, here's
there you go. Okay.
Boner in my leg ain't so bad, you know?
A boner in my leg ain't so bad. Coincidentally, another Shel Silverstein poem.
Boner
in my leg ain't so bad.
And the title of my next album.
Boner in my leg ain't so bad.
That'll work. Oh, my gosh. Well, this is great. Mike Catherwood is here. He's on Twitter, follow him at Mike Catherwood. Listen to him on the Love Line show. But now we're going to get to our—I don't want to call our staple bit, but I think we only have one
signature bit.
Signature bit. I mean, it's what's gotten us a lot of action in the Netherlands.
Via Huge and Lasha. Anyway, this is the Celebrity Serenades, everyone, and we have Mike Catherwood here. And
So what happens is we have celebrities, some obscure, some popular, that come into a bar, and there's very swanky saxophone piano music that Gint will set up for us. And basically, you're the celebrity in the bar, and we'll set it up. Brad or I will be the girl, and somebody will be the bartender and set you up as to buy the girl a drink. And then in a very sleazy, all these celebrities have a theme in common. They're just dirty, sleazy pieces of shit. So whether or not that's their real persona, it is for this sake.
See, it'd be better if I could invent an impersonation where it was like a really moral good guy. But everybody that I do impersonations of are already that guy.
All right, well, there you go.
So we'll see how it goes.
We could start off being at that guy.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll do one just so you can kind of see how it works. Do you have a voice or I can do one? Or
sure, yeah.
Should I be the chick for the first one?
Yeah, well, I would much
first, let's
like
get the music
I would like to be looking at you when I'm trying to pick up on somebody.
Right.
That would help. Fair. I think
let me record a little song for this, by the way, like something at the beginning so that we can be like, it's time for Celebrity Serenades, and it can be like, you know.
You know what? We had a fan. Yeah,
are you guys rolling? Because I'll do a theme song for you right now.
Ready? Let's get that music up again. It's time for Celebrity Serenades. Let's hope that the girls they talk to don't have AIDS. Perfect.
Yes!
I mean, that's perfect.
Sexy and an AIDS joke.
Sexy and informative.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's good. Thank you, Mike Heatherwood. You know what? I'll do one because I haven't been doing many of these because I don't have many voices that I do. But this is going to be Eric Cartman going to a bar. And
All right, so Mike, you'll be the girl. I'll be the bartender. Excuse me, miss. I've got a gentleman here that would like to buy you a drink.
Oh, great. Thanks. Hi.
Hi. What's going on?
Oh, you know, just chilling here with my girlfriends.
Oh, so you got other girlfriends? I want to do some really fucked up shit to you!
I'm sorry, what? What did you say?
I want to do some stuff to you!
Oh, well, what type of
stuff? Ma'am! This girl's being a dildo!
You brought your mom to the bar?
Lower your voice, sweetheart! Oh, yeah, brought my mom to the bar! Who's gonna buy me the cheesy poofs?
Wait. I don't know if they have cheesy poofs here.
Of course I got cheesy poofs. Every bar that wants to be good has cheesy poofs.
I don't know if
they don't allow Jews.
Well, I'm actually Jewish. And
wait.
Sarah Goldstein, nice to meet you.
Did you
say something anti-Semitic?
Your name is Sarah Goldstein?
Yeah.
Fuck you guys.
Well done. Sweet Carmen.
So, Celebrity Serenades. So that's our thing.
All right, I'll throw one up here real quick.
Okay.
You want to be the bartender for this one?
Okay. Yeah. Hey, miss.
Hello?
This guy right here, this gentleman right here, he wanted to buy you a drink and possibly talk to you. Is that all right?
Oh, yes, fantastic. Hello?
I saw you sitting in the corner of the bar. And I thought to myself, there's a pretty good girl who needs a drink in her hand.
Well, thank you for the drink. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you for the butt grub that I put my hand onto. Do you know what time it is?
No. What time is it?
Time for you to put your mouth on my penis time. Sorry for bringing me forward. I'm a little drunk on vodka pudding pops.
Vodka pudding pops.
He's had about 7 vodka pudding pops.
Right? Yeah, 7 vodka pudding pops. I've never had that before.
Have you ever had a pudding pop shoved in your pudding pop stop?
last night, actually, ran into Eddie Griffin. He's kind of into that kind of thing.
Theo!
Yo!
I feel like he just leaves on Sarah's son's name.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's Gene Simmons. That's Gene Simmons.
So, Mike Heatherwood, who are you going to bring to the Celebrity Serenade table?
Gene Simmons is going to come.
Oh, perfect. Gene Simmons. Perfect. Oh, look at that.
All right. A legendary ladies' man.
Okay.
So, it'll be great.
Bartender.
I'll be bartender. Excuse me, miss.
Yes.
I know this is Las Vegas, and we got a lot of crazy
things. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
We have a gentleman right here who would like to talk to you, if that's okay with you.
I would love that. Yeah, I'm just by myself, so.
Excuse me.
Oh.
What's your name?
Christy.
Christy, this is Gene Simmons from KISS.
Oh, my God.
We're the most important band in the world. I don't know if you know that.
And I do know that.
I'm going to cut right to the chase. You know that KISS, we oftentimes adorn our face with white makeup.
Yeah?
I would like to adorn your face with a white substance.
Would that make me an honorary member of the band?
Well, we can discuss that afterwards. I'll make you sign a contract first, because not only am I going to bukkake you, but you're going to owe
me... Bukkake? Oh my God, I've heard that song before.
You're going to owe me $75 when you're done. because I've actually copyrighted.
Wait, I owe you for the bukkake?
Gene Simmons, yes, I've actually copyrighted shooting loads on someone's face. So anytime it's done, whether it be here, tomorrow night, or in Bangladesh, someone has to pay me some money.
Oh, my God. So, okay. Now, I have a friend. Does she have to pay you, too? Or can we get, like, a two-for-one bukkake?
No, no. But what your friend can do is sit on my face right here, because I noticed that we're lacking in bar stools.
Yes.
So there's plenty of room right here on my face. But
right.
But this face right here, if it's used as a stool, by the way, new Kiss stools at kissarmy.com, everybody, $9.99.
Oh, my God.
Christmas gift. You can actually
Father's
sit on my
Day.
Face. That's going to cost her $83 to sit on my face. That's right.
It's so expensive to bukkake and sit on your face. Why is that?
Well, let me tell you why. A lot of people like to point fingers at Gene Simmons of Kiss and the band Kiss because we merchandise so much. But every band wanted to be the Beatles. Kiss wanted to be Coca-Cola.
My does God, that make that's sense so to you? Beautiful. It totally does.
All right, good. Now, let me see your vagina.
Gene Simmons, everyone.
Well done. Well done.
Gene Simmons.
That's great.
Gene Simmons stopped by. Simmons.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Oh, my God. That is a great impression.
Thank you.
A fantastic impression.
It's the only impression I do that is I actually try to be an impression. Because the rest are just like super
mockeries.
Like I just do Manny Ramirez. I'm like, all right, hey everybody, I'm Manny Ramirez of Los Angeles Dodgers, and us will play Oakland A's. He's home run, hooray! He's like,
that's a great Manny Ramirez.
That's right.
And I've never heard of Manny Ramirez before.
Oh, it was Manny Ramirez.
All right, so let's do a little scene here. I'm going to be the manager of the A's, whoever that is, and. So, Manny, we're thinking about maybe putting you in right field tonight. How do you feel about
Manny
that?
Manny Ramirez wear a diaper.
No, okay.
All right, it's true.
No, what I say is we're going to put you in right field.
Don't like go by room, so boom, boom, right.
No, it is.
Manny Ramirez love balloons. You have
balloons.
That's right.
I'm putting you in right field, Manny.
All right. Right field, hooray. Manny Ramirez play for Harlem Globetrotters.
Okay, well, that's not the team you're playing for. No, well, okay. Well, you're on the A's, and tonight you're going to be batting third and playing right field.
Hey, mister, have you ever been to
Coach?
Hey, mister, have you ever been to Korea?
No, I haven't, Manny.
All right. Eat your vegetables. It's good for your hair.
Okay. Hooray. Well, you know what? I do eat vegetables, and I don't know if it is good. Okay. You're
Manny Ramirez, love home run.
Oh, great. Well, hopefully you hit a couple tonight, Manny. You're batting third.
Hey, do you know my pubic hair have dreadlock too?
I did know that, Manny, because you're showing me right now. You're showing me.
All right. And look. Manny Ramirez cock look like rabbi. Hooray.
And what's the name of your rabbi cock, Manny?
Oh, yeah. Shmuel Chaya, Foyt Chayno Chayne Shnevo Chano, Chayne Shneve Shmuel Chono, Oy Vachonai Chayne Chon Moichel Chayno Chonosh. All right.
That's very impressive.
Manny Ramirez learned how to sing song in Israel.
Dude, that's a great Manny Ramirez.
That is awesome.
I just remember when he used to play for the Dodgers, you know, I'm a big Dodger fan. I'd go to the ballpark and you'd look at him in left field, you're like, that guy's like a 12-year-old. I was like, I'd pay anything to know what's going through that guy's head right now because it's certainly not baseball.
Yeah, he's just sitting there looking around going, you know, I would really be good just if a butterfly came down.
Yeah, look at pretty butterfly. Hooray.
And even some of his interviews like almost seemed like that ridiculous where they'd ask him about the game and it was just so like generic and vague and he wasn't really getting specific.
Yeah,
so
Manny, as a left fielder, why were you the cutoff man on a throw to third?
I don't know. It seemed like a fun time for me.
It was a fun time for me.
Isn't it like a good idea at the time?
Yeah.
That was great. Our guest today has been... Yeah, that's it. We got... We did the whole hour. Yeah. Our guest today has been Mike Catherwood. Follow him on Twitter, at Mike Catherwood. Listen to him on the Loveline program, which is broadcast nationwide. And, Mike, thank you for coming in today. Really
it's
do
my
appreciate
pleasure,
it.
Guys. Thank
you
so
were great,
much.
Man. Follow Brad at Funny Brad, me at Adam Ray Comedy, all my videos at AdamRayTV.com. And check out Three's Too Much coming up next. With a crew talks Cosby's weddings and the return of Dusty the Machine, the doo 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 doo, Dio.
The crew's gonna talk Cosby's apparently. All right, well, good stuff. Thank you so much for listening. Look on Adam's website and my website for tour dates. I know I'm coming to Denver and
I'll
Cleveland,
be in Brea, Chicago, Seattle, and subscribe on iTunes.
All right, this has been the About Last Night podcast. Thank you guys so much, and please try to remember our names in the morning.
You're listening to the Toad Hop Network, radio worth watching.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.